You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today we're releasing a discussion paper on a new national policy statement on urban development. It's under the Resource Management Act, and these national policy statements are the way that the Act is written so that central government can have its say. Because, you know, most land use and planning decisions are made by councils at the local level. What we're trying to do here is affect a real change in the mindset of urban planning in New Zealand, away from a philosophy that sees urban development and growth as a kind of a bad thing where you have to manage the negative effects of it, to one where we see urban growth and development as a good thing. It can create wonderful communities for people to live and work and play in, to build affordable housing and so on. It's a shift away from a planning system that tries to stop growth happening, that sets limits on height and density and stops the city growing out, to one where we say councils have to make room for growth. You know, when people come together to live in cities looking for jobs and opportunities, you get population growth. And if you stop growth happening, then you simply drive up the price of urban land and drive up the price of housing. And that's exactly the thing that's got New Zealand into the housing crisis that we're currently wrestling with.
I want to come back to that philosophy stuff, but you said it's a discussion document. So how long has this been worked on?
We've been working on this. Environment Minister David Parker and I have been working on this over the last year or so. It's now out for consultation, so we're hoping we're going to get feedback from councils, from community groups, developers and so on over the next couple of months. And then we will take into account that feedback, and we're looking to get the national policy statement in place within a few months from now. And then that will have an immediate effect on council planning decisions and consenting decisions. So this is something that is very, very important to try and, as one of the contributions to fixing the housing crisis and building really great, high-performing cities.
This is, in terms of a discussion document, what is the next step? Because in your press release, it indicates that this is going to be a kind of 30-year plan. So what is the next step, and at what point can we start seeing some concrete changes?
In a few months, we will have finalised and published the national policy statement, taking into account all the feedback we get over the next 8 weeks. And that will immediately have an effect. So a national policy statement has legal power to direct councils in their planning and consenting decisions. So once the national policy statement is in place, councils around the country will have to give effect to it in their consenting decisions. And then over time, as they update their district plans, or in the case of Auckland, the Auckland Unitary Plan, they'll have to give effect to the direction in the national policy statement. So you're likely to see, for example, in Auckland, that the Auckland Council, when it updates its unitary plan, it would have to make more allowance for freeing up the rules, the restrictions on height and density around transport interchanges and in the central city.
Right. So, and in terms of this being about planning rules, so for someone who doesn't have a degree in urban planning, or, you know, doesn't know the unitary plan or doesn't know the RMA, these sorts of things, can you give an example of the rules that will change?
One of the things that we are proposing in the discussion document is that we limit the ability of councils to require minimum parking. Car parking in their district plans. So, you know, when you're building a new home or an apartment complex, currently many councils will require a minimum number of car parks for each dwelling. The same applies if you're building a retail development, shopping centre and so on. It's not uncommon for councils to set down a minimum number of car parks. What we know, not only from New Zealand experience but around the world, is that acts as a huge hidden subsidy for parking. It means that vast amounts of our most valuable urban real estate are devoted to very wasteful and inefficient parking. And we think that there's a lot of evidence to support the view that it's much better to unbundle car parking from housing or commercial development and let people choose. If people want to buy a car park as part of their new home or their apartment, or a retailer wants to provide a certain number of car parks to their customers, let them do that, let them make that decision. Don't come in over the top and have very blunt rules that require them to do so many car parks. Mm.
So going, I guess, more into the philosophy, you do actually say the word NIMBY in the press release. I'm wondering sort of how much you think that that attitude is actually holding the city back from growth.
Well, there's no question that the resistance of some people in some communities to more affordable housing being built and more medium density has, under the Resource Management Act and council planning, has restricted the supply of new housing. Now, when you do that, when you stop people building apartments or homes in places where they want to live, the effect is simply to drive up the price of housing, to make housing less affordable, and to reduce housing choices for everybody else. The other side of the coin is that, you know, many people are concerned about sprawl, about urban sprawl, that if you don't have these planning restrictions in place, development will just spill out into the countryside without decent transport infrastructure or services. What we're saying is that you've got to allow our cities to grow. If you don't, create an artificial scarcity of land, you drive house prices up, but it must be supported by good transport infrastructure, and of course, water infrastructure, and crucially, developers have to be able to carry the costs of the infrastructure that a development needs. They can't come cap in hand wanting a handout or a subsidy from the ratepayer or the taxpayer.
Okay, I want to come back to sprawl, Minister, but just staying on the NIMBY note, if that culture is there and that culture exists, like even if you're going to change the rules and you're going to allow for these types of consents to be granted, if nobody is coming to you asking for that consent, if people are not wanting that type of development, don't you think then there actually just needs to be a culture change?
Well, there is a culture change going on right now, and we're seeing in all of our major centres, we're seeing a move to more urban intensification. We're seeing, you know, about half the new residential consents in Auckland right now are for apartments and townhouses. So that change is well underway, and it's been enabled by some of the very good progressive improvements that were brought in by the Auckland Unitary Plan when it came in. What we wanted to do is really reinforce that direction and roll it out across the planning system across New Zealand. People want housing. We all know there's a housing crisis.
But if they're wanting houses with, you know, detached home with a backyard, there isn't going to be enough space eventually. There already isn't.
No, look, and already people's own choices and investment decisions in a place like Auckland are already driving that change. You know, you'd be very hard pressed to find a quarter acre section anywhere in Auckland these days. So much of the new development is already medium density, townhouses and apartments. It's all about giving people choices, and at the moment, highly restrictive planning rules are stopping councils and the market from giving people the housing choices that they want. And we're wanting to free up the rules, focus on high-quality neighbourhoods and communities, but allow the market to respond to demand and build more homes.
Mm. And so in regards to that, in terms of sprawl, like you said, if I mean, we're already encroaching, you know, we're spreading out, we're sprawling, it's already happening, we're using up, you know, really, really rich soil out south, which is productive for our food growth. I mean, even just Ihu Mata, not necessarily considering any of the other stuff that's going on, but as a development, you know, it's right next to the airport. There's not much infrastructure around it. You're kind of, any houses that go there require people to drive anywhere they want to go. So how are we going to ensure that the infrastructure required is going to be in place?
Mm. So this draft national policy statement is designed precisely to address those issues. And last week we released another draft policy statement, national policy statement under the RMA to protect highly productive land. And it gives councils the mandate and the tools to set aside areas of special value like the growing soils of Pukekohe out in the south of Auckland. If we want our cities to grow, and we do, then we have to make it so that we can protect areas of special value. Now, it might be growing soils, it might be a coastal strip, a range of hills, an area that has special heritage or archaeological qualities, it's entirely legitimate for communities to be able to make those decisions and say, you know what, we don't want this area to be developed. It's not appropriate for housing. We want to keep open space for future generations. We can build more houses, feed our people, and protect areas of special value. And that's what this national policy statement is trying to achieve.
So do you think that we should just build up? If we just build up and then we don't have to sprawl? What about that?
The problem with only building up and not allowing cities to grow out is that the price of land is the thing that is one of the most problematic aspects of the current housing market. It's what makes housing so expensive in a place like Auckland. If you don't allow the city to grow out and you just build a wall around it, you get population growth and increased demand for housing, and then the price of land goes up. And land in Auckland, urban land, is probably three times more expensive than it should be if we had a properly functioning land market. So our view is that you've got to allow the city to grow out, otherwise you can never get affordable urban land. But the key proviso is that any expansion of a city has to be serviced by good transport infrastructure. And you've got to make sure that the developers are carrying the full costs of their infrastructure. Otherwise, if you subsidise it, then you could be undermining the market for other development in other areas, like intensification in the city.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.